Welcome to the Institute for Story podcast. My name is Dee Daniels, and I can't wait to tell you a story. Very excited to welcome our next guest to the podcast, Jordan Arrighetti from Mi Alma. And we are proud to have them as a sponsor for this year's StoryCon and as a sponsor for the Institute for Story podcast. Jordan, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking some time to not only join us in what we're doing, but to sit and chat about it too.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
This is an exciting time as we're gearing up for StoryCon 2023. And it certainly is kind of one of those moments that I feel like we're all coming together for a reason, and we're able to share our stories and really connect with each other in such a powerful way. And I think that's something that you guys do at Mi Alma, just seamlessly really connecting each other with story. I know the little nugget within the big nugget of Mi Alma is that it's a very big community of people coming together to share stories. Tell everyone a little bit about what you guys do.
Sure. So at its core, Mi Alma is a social platform that reimagines the way we remember all those that have passed, while also offering a new type of collective support. My husband and I, who's a co-founder, and my husband's the co-founder and CEO, we've long believed that the experience that someone has after someone dies is just generally incomplete. And that there's all of these great stories and anecdotes and memories that people have, but it's very, very challenging and it's very difficult to bring people together in a more collaborative environment to actually get that down in writing so that it can be preserved in perpetuity. I have three young children. So for me, Mi Alma is so important because it creates a sense of intergenerational connection. If I can't tell the stories of my grandparents, how am I ever going to explain to my children one day? So Mi Alma is almost acting as a binding agent, both for the family and the community at large, to help tell the stories of these wonderful, extraordinary, ordinary humans, both before they pass or right after.
It really is such a gift to be able to share the story of our loved ones, you know, and to not only share it in a way where we're experiencing, part of that grief process, but where we're also sharing their story with someone else, because it's like, wow, I had this extraordinary person in my life for this time, and I want to share them with you too. And the ripple effect of that is just unbelievable. And I'm sure you see that day to day as people join this community.
We do. And one of the things that's been so interesting is just watching and learning from grievers. You know, there's no greater currency for someone to learn about their loved one through the eyes of somebody else. I mean, it's one thing to be able to recall your own stories and write them down, but to learn about your mom or your dad or an uncle or a grandparent from the perspective of a colleague or an old teammate or a neighbor, there's such value in seeing the full 360 degree perspective of that person's life, because so often you really only see it from one vantage point. You know, if it's your grandparent, you just know them as the grandchild. So it's been really beautiful to be able to extract these stories out. And we do call it a gift. We talk about it as giving the gift of Mi Alma, because it's both a gift in those moments right after someone passes, but it's a gift that you have forever, because it's somewhere that you can go whenever you have those waves of grief or those waves of nostalgia, and you're just looking for that little uplifting moment.
I want to talk a bit about how you guys came up with the name, because am I remembering correctly that translates to my soul?
Correct. So Mi Alma is Spanish for my soul. My husband's family is Sephardic. So they originated from Greece and Turkey, and the Sephardic language is really just a combination of Hebrew and Spanish. My father-in-law tells this beautiful story that when his grandparents immigrated, they knew no English, or it was quite broken. And so when they would see him, he was quite young, they would go up to him and they'd embrace him and they'd say, "Oh, Mi Alma Mia, Mi Alma Mia, you are my soul. You are the soul of me." And so when we were thinking about names for this company, it was important for us that we found a layer of depth and found something that we connected with as founders. And we thought, what a beautiful phrase to use that encapsulates everything that we're trying to accomplish.
It really is. And it strikes a note, you know, immediately when you hear it and when you read it. And it made me immediately think of my grandfather who has passed. It made me think of, you know, just so many people who I'm like, oh gosh, that they are still a deep part of my soul. And, you know, it that just rang so true.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I've learned through this entire discovery process and building this company is, you know, in a lot of cultures, death and grief is handled very differently than it is in America. We've talked to some folks of Hispanic descent, and they tell us a story of when someone dies, they actually die three times. They die the literal time when they stop breathing. They die a second time when their bodies return to the ground. And they die that last time when people on earth stop saying their name.
Oh, wow.
And so one of the, it's deep, and it's, you know, for some people, it kind of gives you a little bit of chills, but that's part of the, sounds crazy, but it's part of one of our goals, that you never have to die that final death, because there's now a place that you can forever keep these people alive by continuing to tell their stories, by continuing to say their names in a way that brings them honor, in a way that keeps them alive.
You know, that makes me think of my brother-in-law who lost his father suddenly, unexpectedly. And, you know, I'm kind of watching that grief process from the inside and a little from the outside. And so it's interesting to watch his mother go through the process of losing her husband, to watch him go through the process of losing his dad, to watch my sister go through the process of losing the father-in-law, and me, the process of a friend. And, you know, I'm watching her go through the desire and need to want to talk about him so much. And that can be uncomfortable for some people in that grieving process, because they're like, oh gosh, that's all we talk about. Or that's all, you know, if I call you, that's all you're going to talk about. What you guys are doing, it really gives such a great outlet for, I think, people in that kind of a journey to want to get it out and talk about it, not get it out to go away, but just to talk about it and make it feel like, hey, this person is still a part of my heart, my soul, my everyday. And what a great avenue to be able to do that.
It's very important to us that Mi Alma isn't a condolence wall of, you know, the typical 3 to 5 things that you find. You know, you often hear when someone passes, so sorry for your loss, or thoughts and prayers, or thinking of you. You know, that's wonderful and that's well intended. I know that to be true. We've been very intentional about the ways that we've built the product so that we can create more stories. So actually, when someone creates a Mi Alma page, we actually have prompts. So as you come on to that person's page, you'll be asked, or you can use one of our 10 prompts. How did you meet them? What's something you'll always remember about them? Tell us a funny story. Because what we've learned about storytelling is very difficult for people. And it's not because they're not natural storytellers. It's because no one's asking them in a way that they feel comfortable. It's very difficult for people just to get up and tell a story. But if you're asked a question, it's much easier. So by using these prompts, it really brings these pages to life, because instead of it just being this chain of condolences, now you've got these stories that are just rich with details that people had never heard of before. And now what you're doing is you're really opening up the door to ask more questions. And that may not take place on Mi Alma, and that's certainly fine. But it's really creating connection and creating community, because now you're opening up in a way that most people aren't comfortable. And then the other thing that we think is really powerful is, because Mi Alma lives online, you know, we're in a digital era, and people aren't particularly comfortable oftentimes talking at a funeral or at a memorial service or at a Shiva. Those can be very uncomfortable settings for people to get up and say something orally. We know that the younger generation lives and breathes online.
That's right.
And they storytell and they video and they reel and they do all of those things on platforms. So we're trying to meet consumers both where they are and where they're going. And that's part of this, is to kind of find this safe space that's ad-free, that is dedicated to a singular person, that is, it's sacred, but that you can forever access. Because again, Facebook wasn't meant for this. There's a reason why that there needs to be a dedicated place for these particular stories to be told.
Let's talk a little bit about kind of the nuts and bolts of Miama, and as far as like, how can the community get involved? I mean, at what is there a place in someone's journey where it's like, okay, I can go here now and create a page because someone has passed in my life? What if you want to interact with someone else's page? How do you go about joining this community?
Yeah, it's such a great question. There's a few ways to answer that. So the first is that we really have three different kind of customer journeys, let's call them. So you can create a Miama page. Certainly, if someone passed many months or many years ago, we consider that a legacy page. So, you can go on our website and create a page today. You can absolutely create a page if someone has just passed, but we also allow people to create pages in anticipation. The story I tell is when my grandfather was dying, my grandfather was a war hero, truly an American patriot. He died at 90 years old. 4 Purple Hearts, 2 Bronze Stars, jumped out of helicopters. I mean, truly a hero in our eyes, but a hero in this country's eyes. And the last 2 weeks watching him effectively wilt in front of my eyes in hospice was very jarring. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way to preserve him in his prime. There's got to be a better way for me, both the granddaughter and the loyal daughter to my mom, who was losing her father, to do something that really honored him, to celebrate him. And we were already building Miama, but this certainly was a catalyst to say, what more can we do to amplify this so that this can be seen as cathartic and uplifting, not another to-do list item for when someone passes. So you can access and create the page in all these three different journeys. And then the ways to get involved are, there's quite a few, actually. So we partner with hospice groups and houses of worship. They are the organizations that primarily make folks aware of Miama. What we want to do is we really want to support the institutions that support grievers in their community, whether you're a minister, a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, or whether you're a social worker or a home health aide or a chaplain. We know that there are a lot of really amazing people that want to support grievers in their community, but they don't often have the right resources to do it. So there's a lot of ways to get involved. Again, the easiest way, of course, is to come to our website and create a page. You can also gift pages. If you know someone that's going through grief, you can absolutely do that. But more so, what we're doing right now is inviting these institutions, even nonprofit types, to say, do you want to make Miama available in your community? And what type of impact do you want to have?
Yeah, I mean, because what an extension, right, to have with any program that might be going on. Because like you said, maybe you're grieving and you are uncomfortable going to that support group in front of everyone. Maybe that's not something that you want to do or speak at, or, maybe you want to go, but you're like, I don't know what to say. And I really, I'm too emotional. So I don't feel comfortable doing that. But what a great extension this kind of community would be, because it is removed a little from the person to person. And I love that. I mean, you guys are solely available online for everyone,
right,
which is fantastic. And it's just one of those outlets that I think is so needed, because it's also bringing up the conversation of grief. And I think this is a conversation we should be having in a different way now than what we have in the past. And I'm curious your thoughts on that too, because we're having conversations now about grief and growing in grief, growing through grief, never having to say, I'm over it. These are different kinds of conversations that we should be having now.
Absolutely. I'll be the first to say, I'm no grief expert, right? I am your classic supporter type. And what I can tell you is that through this journey, part of how we built this is we've tried to be incredibly intentional. We've talked to doctors, we talked to psychiatrists, we've talked to neurologists, we've talked to rabbis, we've talked to pastors, we've talked to all these different folks that understand grief better than we do, to ask them, is this actually a healthy idea? Is this a good idea? And the answer unequivocally has been absolutely. And part of that is because as society has evolved and as we've gotten better at talking about grief, and you mentioned this, you know, I think that Americans primarily have this idea in their minds that grief is a moment in time. It is when someone dies, and there's a lot of attention and there's a lot of support in about the 2 to 3 week window when someone dies. And then about a month later, everyone moves on and the grieving family pops up and they say, well, where did everybody go?
Mm.
And part of our goal as a company is to normalize that grief journey and to help people recognize that grief lasts much longer than the memorial service. It lasts much longer than the year of the first. It is something that lives with people and they grow with it, but they grow with it forever. One of the things that we do inside of the service is, in addition to creating the storytelling element, we also have dates to remember. So the family can plug in the person's birthday, or the person's day of passing, or maybe there was an anniversary that was important. And if you follow that person's page, you will be notified on those days that today is an important day in this person's life, so that you can do a few things. One, you can maybe create a memory or send a picture that you've never shared before. Maybe you make a donation in their honor. Or three, and probably the most popular use of this, will be just sending a text message or making the phone call to someone to say, I know it's been 5 years since your dad passed or since your brother-in-law passed. I just want to let you know that you're not alone. I'm thinking of you. And it sounds really simple, but these little technology components of what we do, we think have the ability to be very, very powerful as it relates to changing the narrative around what grief really is, to normalize it both for grievers, not to feel so uncomfortable or maybe even silly when they're sad so many months or years after, but also educating the community on what grief really feels like and to educate them on the things that they can be doing to be the friends and to be the supporters that I believe that most people want to be.
Because how many times have we all seen in our life that an anniversary or birthday or a date of passing has passed and you've thought, oh my gosh, I should have mentioned, right? And you feel so bad and you feel guilty. And then a week goes by and you're like, well, I can't reach out now.
Wild. Yeah. It's wild. And now as part of, I mean, this functionality that we're talking about right now is one that I've been very passionate and vocal about. I'm the first to admit I'm very blessed. I haven't experienced extreme grief. And I've also been a supporter many, many times. Two of my best friends have lost their fathers. And my best friends that I'm referring to, they're childhood best friends. So their dads were, you know, second dads to me. And that first year or two, I was really good at following up and checking in and, hey, I know it's your dad's birthday or I know, you know, day of passing. But as the years go on, it gets harder and harder and harder. And then it does create this awkwardness and this uncomfortable position where maybe you can still reach out, but now you look silly because it's 2 or 3 weeks after that particular day. And then you end up doing nothing. When in fact, what we've learned is that the grievers would love to hear from you. They still want to hear. And so much of our discovery and the lessons that we've learned, especially in talking to psychiatrists, psychologists, is there's two primary fears that someone has when they lose someone. The first is the fear of forgetting. Forgetting their qualities, forgetting those important dates, forgetting the memories. That's one part. The second part is the fear of that person being forgotten. So through MeAlma, one of the things that we want to like instill in people is that you are supposed to say their name. You are supposed to continue to talk about them because that's actually what's oftentimes bringing the most peace and the most most emotional lift to those primary grievers.
I don't know when it became taboo to continue the grieving process. I don't know where that started or where it came from. I don't know if it has religious undertone or not. I'm not sure, but boy, it seems like we're trying to unravel from that so much now. And I'm glad we are. We're trying to come up out of that and give this a new definition and a new meaning to be able to say, hey, it's okay to cry about this loss, to be heavy with this loss, to be, you know, paralyzed for a moment about this loss, even years later, because it has no time limit.
Well, and one of the catalysts for building the Alma, frankly, was COVID. Mm. We, like everyone else, observed the death that was happening in isolation and the grief that was happening in isolation. And I think that we still, it will be years before we really understand the repercussions of that. But it was tragic to see so many thousands, millions of people lose their lives, some completely isolated, some without funerals, some just with Zoom funerals. And I mean, we just kept thinking to ourselves, there have got to be better resources and tools available to grievers, both for their own grief, but to tell the stories of their loved one, because it was, you know, there was a good year and a half timeline where people were just vanishing. And yeah, these people were just as wonderful and extraordinary as people that died before them and the people that have died after them, but they weren't given the proper rituals. And so much of why we finally were like, okay, we're going to go all in and we're going to do this was COVID and was the realities of watching this and knowing that ultimately this is a mental health play, right? Grief is very much tied to mental health and mental health awareness, which is getting a lot of momentum and is getting a lot of proper recognition in mainstream right. media now, which is wonderful. And grief is a component of that. So if we can learn to normalize the rituals in which how we talk about people, we think that ultimately we're actually bettering the mental health of people as they move forward and push forward in their life, knowing that grief still remains a part of them.
You know, that reminded me that at the Institute for Story, we talk a lot about that storytelling connects quicker than anything else you can possibly think of. It's the shortest line between me and you. You know, it's the powerful avenue to get there. And you know, one of the things that I think is so present in what you guys are doing is how we can connect with other people through sharing our stories about the grief process. Do you have a particular story that you've seen or maybe one in your life in sharing of the grief process with someone else where that connection has been really, really aware?
It's such a great question and it's so important to us. I'll answer that question. I'm going to answer a different one first. The number one thing I want also people to recognize about Mi Alma is we also do have a grief resources section in our product. So we see it as our role to help direct people in the direction that they need, whether that's additional support groups or talking to a therapist. So we have a lot of those resources available. So it's not just this page to memorialize someone. It's also a place that you can go to find the appropriate resources for you and where you are in your grief journey. The beauty of Mi Alma is there's so much virality in it. So it's been so powerful to see complete strangers use Mi Alma, post it on their Facebook, and then see the connections being made within complete strangers on those Facebook chains that said, gosh, I also lost my child, or I also lost my mother. I know what you're going through. This really, really helped me. And to see those connections happening online, you know, online today, when you hear those things, you think, oh gosh, it's negative, it's mean, there's a lot of cyberbullying. We're doing the opposite. We have found that Mi Alma is this incredible binding agent, bringing communities together because grief is truly universal. It's one of the few things on earth that everyone inevitably will actually go through. Yet we have this ability to kind of like put people at ease again and to remind everyone that we're all human. And so to see these pages effectively, you know, be shared on these social outlets and then watch these chains of support where people are connecting with people that they don't really even know, gosh, that is so meaningful to us.
Yeah. And so powerful. And you're right. I mean, to really just tap into that common thing that we all have. I mean, you've taken away what we look like. You've taken away what financial background we're from. You've taken away, you know, anything, the politics, you've taken away you know, so many of the other barriers, right, that keep us all from that connection. And it comes down to, I hurt over this, and I grieve over this, and I've had pain over this, and I think about this, and other people, I mean, a massive amount of other people are like, me too. So it's like, wow.
It's a part of the human experience. I mean, it truly is. And again, it's so striking to me that whenever anyone dies, it happens all the time. Yet every time it happens, we act like we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's always shocking. It's always surprising. It always catches us off guard. And that's where, again, part of what we strive to do at Mi Alma is to provide communities with the proper resources and the proper rituals to feel and to make a difference in these grievers' lives. And it's such a powerful idea. It's such a powerful movement because we're watching truly in front of our eyes, these communities come together that don't know each other, people coming together that don't know each other, just based off of the shared experience of loss, which is so tragic. And it can be so uplifting in the sense that you can find ways to come together.
Mialma.com is the website, Mialma.com. I want to make sure everybody can check out what's happening there. And certainly I loved the gift page idea. I mean, I already thought of like three people. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, gift a page. Like, why not? Right. That, and I'm sure that's fairly easy to do and to help someone set that up.
Yeah. So, and there's a few things that also kind of just add to the ethos of what we're trying to do. So absolutely. You can go on, you can gift a page. The cost of a page is $100. So, you know, it's a one-time cost. Again, no ads, not reoccurring. It's very important that it's as accessible as possible. At the same time, we also recognize, because grief is universal, that we don't want the financial burden or the cost to be a burden to actually access Mi Alma. So we're also, in addition to that, we are a network of gifted pages. So we have wonderful gifters that we go out and talk to. These are folks that typically have family foundations, and we make them aware of Mi Alma, and we say, how many pages do you want to gift into our community fund so that anyone that wants a page can get one at no cost?
Oh, wow.
So we already have thousands of pages available in our community fund. So if $100 is too much, or it's some ways cost prohibitive, by all means, create a page. If you feel inclined, maybe you could pay it forward to someone else later. You know, we really want to instill this pay it forward ethos into what we do. And that's where, you know, working with hospice groups or houses of worship, oftentimes they pay for it for their congregation or for their patients or for their residents, however they talk about them. And there are situations where we talk to groups and they say, we really want to do this, but we can't make it work. We're never going to let costs get in the way of making an impact. There's a number of ways folks can get involved if they're interested in becoming what we call a gifter or a funder. We, of course, are always welcome to those conversations. That's how we kind of create this beautiful connection amongst everyone by making these pages available. And then again, whether you're an individual gifting a page, or if you fall in line with one of these groups that feels that they're connected with grievers in their community, of course, that's a way that we encourage people to get involved.
So one of the things we like to do on this podcast too is to share a good story. So I was just going to ask you about, you said Mi Alma was already in the works when your grandfather was about to pass. Do you have a favorite story about your grandfather you'd love to share with us?
Oh gosh, he was such a hoot. That's such a good question. It was probably at our wedding, and I was his first granddaughter to get married. And I just remember when he saw me in my wedding dress for the first time, and he couldn't find the words. And this man was not short on words. Let me promise you that. Like, this man, he would talk your ear off. And I looked at him, I said, Big Pop, like, and he just cried.
Oh.
And, you know, I gave him a big hug. His wife had passed many years prior, and he just kept saying, you know, your grandma, she would have loved to have been here. And it was just a really powerful moment. I'll never forget it. It makes me tear up now just thinking about it. You know, grandparents especially, they pull on your heartstrings a little bit differently. They're you know, they keep you connected to your roots. And that's what he was for me. And I miss him like crazy. And I look at it as a privilege to be able to talk about him every day when I talk about Mialma, because I don't think that I'm unique. I think there's a lot of people like Jordan Arrighetti out there that have a desire and have a sense of connection with their family members, and that you find it, this like fire inside of you to keep that them alive. And again, up until now, I believe there haven't been a lot of tools and resources to do it. And we try to make that as easy as possible to do so.
Well, we're certainly glad Big Pop had you come along, because what a gift to the world this is, really. Mialma.com, check it out. And we are just absolutely grateful that you guys have come aboard to help shine a light on Institute for Story and on StoryCon this year. We're so excited to have you as a partner. And I know we're all going to continue to do great things together and make great connections.
Appreciate it. I also have to, if anyone is on social, we are also on Instagram at the.mialma. So you can find us there as well with some great content and great advice on how to be a better supporter to grievers in your life.
Fantastic. Jordan, thank you so much for sharing what you guys are doing. And thanks for spending some time with us. Can't wait to spend some more time together as we get closer to StoryCon this year.
Likewise.
It's going to be fantastic.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
We are also so proud to showcase the power of story and connection with our community leaders, business owners, anyone from any walk of life at the annual Story Conference. This year, StoryCon 2023 is anticipated to be even bigger and better, Sunday, June 4th through Tuesday, June 6th, and will include a special open community event on Tuesday evening called United Through Story, featuring storytellers and the talents of the Savannah Philharmonic at the Savannah Cultural Arts Center. And thanks to our sponsors and partners, Mialma. Mialma mobilizes communities to memorialize legacies and support anyone that's experienced the loss of a loved one. Find out more at mialma.com. And our heartfelt thanks to the Hospice Savannah Storykeeping Endowment for supporting this year's Story Conference. For StoryCon 2023 registration and more information, head to instituteforstory.com. And as Dr. Barry says, when you tell a better story, you live a better life.